shut up and we'll start. You ever have something bother you so much that you lost sleep? So stressing, you're unsettled, unnerved all the time? Something so big that you may feel that it cannot be fixed or remedied? And it seems like it will just go on and on and on, and there's frustration, depression, anxiety, things like that. None of us in this room, right? Just look at the news, what's taking place. The world is in upheaval. We end up carrying a burden with the frustration and depression and anxiety wrapped up and binds us in a bundle. We drag it around like a sack, keeping it close, even though we think it's unsolvable. We drag the burdens around us. In the back of our mind, we may think it's too big, too late, too difficult, too impossible to experience God's mercy, so we just endure things that we go through. It might be something of a relationship gone wrong. It could be our health. It could be our employment. It could be our family. It could be our finances. It could be temptations that we have with weaknesses in our character. It could be things that would possibly be a sin, and we carry them around thinking we just have to endure. The problem is, the longer a burden remains with us, the longer we carry it around, the worry and anger and frustration and depression, we carry that with us. And it stays with us, beating us down physically and spiritually. It just takes its toll on us. We end up with emotional stress. Burdens can lead to sleep disorders, eating disorders, ulcers, high blood pressure. It affects us physically and that affects us spiritually. We end up with a skewed perspective. Logic disappears. You know, sometimes we seek relief from the bad relationship, like, how can this be so wrong when it feels so right? And individuals get themselves in a situation where they're really off the mark. If the issue remains unaddressed, it'll continue to work us over. We may even begin to have doubts about our journey, doubts about our plan that God has for us, doubts about God and His power to manage our lives and our affairs, to be able to help us. From doubt grows fears, from fears grow helplessness, from helplessness grows hopelessness, from hopelessness grows inaction, and inaction means that we're frozen in step. We can't move, we can't think, we can't fix. But we could ask the question, what are we supposed to do? Be the strong, silent type? My dad was always the strong, silent type. He didn't like to address problems. And that really was an issue because I learned that same thing. To suffer in silence, as it were. To tough it out. Hang in there. Be long-suffering. We're told to be long-suffering, which means to suffer long. To endure. We hear some people talk about, well, show some backbone. So we tighten our belt. We set our jaw. We become determined to plow through what is beating us down. And there are times when we try and we fail. We go to God and ask for strength, and we ask for help. We ask for intervention, and we have some progress, but we still carry the burden and we carry on until we realize that that which so easily besets us doesn't so easily leave us. That which so easily besets us doesn't easily leave us. We come to realize that there is something missing, something we've left undone when we have this burden that we carry around. We got this garbage can. We haul it around with us. Woe is me. I as a freshman at college, a senior gal took me to task because I was explaining my bag of burdens. And she looked at me and she says, are you still living at home? I was at college. I was in the dormitory. And are your parents still controlling you? And all my excuses disappeared because I realized I was still carrying around the bag of burdens and I hadn't addressed it because that was my bag of excuses for not changing and growing. We pray for God's mercy, His guidance, His strength, and His intervention. We study His Word, seeking encouragement and comfort. We have experiences to gain confidence and trust, and we meditate. We muse on God's Word, the path that we're on, and we fast, humbly seeking God's will in our life. And sometimes we still carry the burden, the anxiety, the anger, the fear, the depression, and especially temptation, which is always around us. That beep wasn't me, was it? Oh, number 6 on the phone? Good. We have distractions from growing because we still carry the doubts with us, the burdens. There are burdens, the negative experiences and situations we've encountered, and the byproduct, which is the emotions that we carry around with us, and they stay with us, they become speed bumps to our growth. All our actions and all our choices and decisions have consequences. I always talk about consequence, because whether we obey God or not, there's a consequence. If we obey God, it's a consequence. Whether God blessing us or society beating us up, there's a consequence for obeying God. There's a consequence for disobeying God. God corrects us and society loves us. But there's a consequence. The outcomes can be good, bad, or ugly. There is cause and effect, action and production. Not all the outcomes are positive and good. And those negative outcomes leave us with burdens that threaten the success of our journey to God's kingdom. So what's the deal? What is holding back our spiritual growth and our success? There is one step I want to talk about today. We could ask, what have we left undone? We've prayed, we've gone to God, we've studied, we've fasted, we've meditated. What is left to do? Well, let's ask what is first taking place. 1 Corinthians 10. That doesn't seem right. Yeah, let's make that 2 Corinthians 10. That didn't make sense. So much better. 2 Corinthians 10. Hey, I got it right here. I'll just change that. I knew that was wrong. 2 Corinthians 10, and beginning in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We are in a struggle. We are in a war with our adversary. Our adversary wants to prevent us from being in God's kingdom. It is a war. We are fighting for eternal life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not a physical war. We can't get guns. We don't get plasma. This isn't, Ghostbusters with plasma guns and they got to take care of ghosts. For our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds are in our mind. We end up with doubts and fears and depression and such because of the situations we find ourselves in. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I like the way another translation says, which just went out of my head. That's okay. Casting down arguments, I can't believe that. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We put ourselves in as the arbiter of what God should tell us to do. Well, God didn't mean that, He meant this. That intellectual arrogance is the translation. That there is an intellectual arrogance, we know better than God. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, our adversary did that, didn't he, as Lucifer. He was made perfect. There wasn't anything wrong with our adversary at the time when he was created. And he exalted himself against the knowledge of God. He knew God. He knew God as God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down arguments and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're to capture our thoughts. We're to hold our thoughts. We're to protect our thoughts. What's in play is how we think, what we think about it on our perceptions, our understanding of the world around us, of the future that God has given to us, of our very spiritual and eternal lives. So God wants us to capture our thoughts in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Just before Philippians. Ephesians 6 verse 13. It talks about taking up the whole armor of God. The whole armor. And we've had messages on each of the pieces of the armor. That we are be able to withstand the darts that our adversary throws at us. That demented being uses lies and deceits and our emotions to hold sway, to hold control over us, to prevent us from advancing, from overcoming, from growing spiritually. The fight with our adversary is for our very minds. Not our bodies, but our minds. To succeed, we must put on the whole armor of God. As verse 17 states, take on the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the mind, the head. And as we study God's word, we look for those words of life that lead us to salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, verse 18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the helmet protects the mind. The sword is God's word that we can wield. And then, my mind stopped. We are praying with God. We have communication. We create a partnership with God. A literal partnership with God. Praying always. We keep connected to God, who is our help, our salvation in every time of need and trial. So, we engage and experience the negative situations and events, some of our own doing, some by chance, and we end up knocking heads with our adversary against anguish and depression, anger, anxiety, guilt and fear, and the ever-present temptations for whatever is our private issue. No, don't. Leave me alone, Internet. Need to know how to turn the Internet off right now. Let's not stop. The burdens that we have from negative experiences, the burdens that we have that threaten our successful journey to God's kingdom need to be addressed. There is a step we need to add to our personal contact with God. We've prayed, we've studied, we think through, we meditate, and we fast. Let's add one more step in overcoming those burdens that this world throws at us with capriciousness and accuracy. Matthew 11. Jesus Christ is giving encouragement to his disciples. You and I are his disciples down through centuries. He is giving us encouragement. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You are carrying burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I went through that twice. This is important. Come to me. This is a choice that we must make. We go to God as a choice, and we take our burden, we take what we're laboring with, what we're struggling with, what we're tired, we're growing weary, carrying, we're exhausted because we're laboring, that we are heavy laden. This is to carry a heavy load, a heavy burden placed upon us. For the Greek 5412, if you want to look that up, and it's for tidzo, it means to have a heavy burden. I've seen people who were able to walk so upright, and when they were under pressure and under burden, you could see them start to bend over because it was just in their mind, it was beginning to crush them, and they started to feel it physically. And it says to take my yoke. That means to lay hold of, to exercise effort and choice. We are to go to God. We are to bring Him our burdens and to take hold of His yoke. Take my yoke upon you. His yoke is a way of life. His yoke is the answers to what this world needs. We were talking before the service what the answers are for everyone that's having a problem. It is Jesus Christ. It is Him as the leader of the world. It is putting away our adversary. It is His way of life. And He says, my yoke. And if you think about the yoke is to combine two oxen together or more than two oxen together so that they can work together. Our journey to God's kingdom is not a solo event. It's not a solo event. We're in it together. So as brothers and sisters, we reach out to one another. We help one another. And we carry one another's burden as well. What is the obligations or His yoke? What is the obligations of Jesus Christ? And that is to obey the Father, to do His will, to do the will of the Father. And when we have made a commitment to God through baptism, we have made that same commitment that whatever God wills, that is our will. And that becomes our obligation to obey the Father and to follow His commands. We become a partner with God. I have this burden. I need your intervention. And sometimes we just go, I don't know how to handle this. Help me through this. And then Jesus Christ said, learn from me. Which means we're learning from the Father. As we go through something, we learn perspective. We can study, we can pray, we can meditate on it. And then God opens our mind and He opens Scripture to us, certainly. And then we learn from Him so that we have a different perspective on life. I have a whole list of... On the way up here yesterday, you don't want to see that penmanship because I was writing while I was driving. But I have a whole list of perspectives that have changed me over my 56 years in this way of life. Because when I started, I certainly didn't think the way I do today. But over time, I have learned to be a partner with God. I've learned His perspective. I learned the plan of God. And I've learned what is the bottom line. Jesus Christ said that He is gentle and He is humble. You know, it's so much easier to go to someone who is kind and gentle when we have a problem than we reveal ourselves. We become vulnerable when someone is loving us and caring for us. And I didn't write it down, but in Jeremiah it says that God, He says, I know my thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of a future and a hope. I probably misquoted that. But that's our Father. He has thoughts of our future and our hope. So when we have a burden, He is the one we need to go to. So He says his yoke, His obligation as a way of life with His Holy Spirit becomes easy. I went too far. It becomes easy. His burden, which is the same root word as heavy laden for tenon, which He requires, is light. We don't carry the perspective of this world. I've got a whole list of it. I'm going to hit them at the end. But sometimes I think of the burdens that my neighbors go through or the people when I was working, getting a paycheck, that they were going through. That didn't matter to me. Because my burden was to obey God, follow the plan that God has for me, and to live according to His way, and made my life easy. One of the perspectives I have is this is not my world. It just isn't. And what stirs this world up doesn't stir me. I have a different influence in my life. It's called God's Holy Spirit. So we're to take all our burdens, trials, temptations, and issues, all that burdens us down, and take that swipes our energy, that saps our confidence, and removes our focus and perspective. We take all of that to God. And sometimes we say, I don't know, but I'm going to trust you. We talked about that last time. We talked about having trust in God. And then he gives us a rest. Not necessarily taking away the situation, but he takes away the stress in our mind. Because he has given us his perspective. He has given us rest or relief or freedom. And we get a quiet calm about us. And how do we do this? We exchange our burdens for his. You know, come to him with our burdens. It could be health, it could be family, it could be job, it could be so many things. Society, I get spun up with bullies, and the world is filled with bullies, but it's not my world. I just have to stop and say, not my issue. What's the phrase? Not my circus, not my monkeys, I think is the phrase. And this world is run by our adversary. And it's not my world, it's not my circus, and it's not my monkeys. Regardless of what we find ourselves engaged in, we keep going. Consequences of our errors, mistakes, misfortune, not always removed. But our perspective has changed because we've partnered with God. We are using his guidance, his wisdom, his perspective to continue on the road to his kingdom. Because what matters is his plan, his perspective, his wisdom, his guidance, and the road to the kingdom. I'm running out of new experiences to share with you, but one that still strikes me very clearly is when I was working the old rocket factory, and I had I was part of a management team. One in the management team decided that I needed to go, so there was the proverbial knife between the shoulder blades, and I was counseled by my coworkers to retaliate, to defend, to attack. But see, that's human thinking. I put it in God's hands, and God took care of it. The person was transferred. I went from doing good, not doing good, to doing good, and the person was transferred and then left the company. That goes for the last page in my perspective. Everybody has to have their personal perspective of life. You know, what have you done for spiritual habits? I'm way off my notes. But we have spiritual habits. When something takes place, what is my knee-jerk reaction? What is my first reaction? When Job had the shock and awe that hit him, his first reaction was, God is good, God gave, God could take away. But the longer the trial went on, we saw that there was a chink in his armor that needed to be addressed. But the same is for us. What have we done in creating spiritual habits? And I've talked about this before. That when situations take place, what is our reaction? Let me get back to my notes. George Henry Lewes, there's a quote that I found profound and in many different scenarios, says that the only cure for grief is action. The only cure for grief is action. And I thought about that statement. And the same is true. The only cure for depression is action. The only cure for anxiety is action. The only cure for doubt is action. The only cure for fear is action. Doing something positive, giving all your burdens to God and taking up the yoke of Christ is one of them. To carry his burden, meaning to remain focused on what God wants, to learn from God, to learn of his plan and his purpose. And it gives us a perspective to deal with whatever burden we had. When we study and think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what it meant to us personally and what it means to us for all of humanity, it changes our perspective. We can ask the question how we're to bring all our troubles to God, to bring all our burdens to him. We really shouldn't be, well, I can handle this. I think I've got this. I can endure this. But we forget that God is our Father and wants to take the burden off us and give us His burden, His obligation, His yoke, which is to do the will of the Father in life. There's a Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 22. When we think about whatever we're going through, and you can keep those personal, and you have friends in the body of Christ, you might share some of the burdens you have with. Cast your burden, verse 22, Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He shall never permit the righteous to be shaken. Meaning, we can go through trials and difficulties, and there is no downplaying some of the trials and difficulties that we have. But we're not shaken away from the journey that God has put us on. We're not moved away from the plan that God has given to us. We're to cast our burdens on God. Now, the word, I like this word, cast. It's an interesting word. If you like the Hebrew, shalach, 7993, literally means to throw, to hurl, to fling, to heave. And I wondered, why such an action? Think about handing off a live grenade. You pull the pin and you just hand it off. We retain control of the grenade until we release it, but then we're right next to it. We don't want to keep those kind of trials and difficulties close. We want to hand them to God, but a grenade will go off. But a grenade is designed to fling away from you. God says to throw them, cast them to Him. Don't hang on to them. Don't hand them to Him and keep your hand on the bag. Well, I'm going to retain control over this burden. I'll still figure this one out. I'm going to hang on to this until I get it right. Sometimes we just have to let it go into God's hands. The burden in the Hebrew here means our lot in life, that which is given to us, meaning we are to cast everything to our Father. Cast your burden, our lot in life, on the Lord. And He will sustain us. He will uphold us. He will bless us, never permitting ourselves to be moved, to be shaken, because we have put our burdens on God. We're to bring all our troubles to God, to give them to Him. In exchange, we take up the yoke and the burden of Jesus Christ, both the easy and light, and then going forward with God. He's our partner, taking His view, taking His perspective, taking His understanding of time and trouble and of salvation. There are so many things we get spun up about, and, well, is that salvation? No. Is that speculation? Well, yeah. Is that opinion? Yeah. A lot of times, we have to go back to what God says, because His words are the words of salvation. And I got to get away from speculation. I got to get away from opinion, because they don't matter in the whole scheme of things. They just don't matter. We know that God doesn't always remove the consequence of whatever we're going through, but He gives us the strength to go through them. He gives us His peace of mind. Isaiah 26:3, you know, I go there a lot, because it says that He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You, because He trusts in You. When we trust in God and our mind is stayed on God, whatever we're going through, we'll have perfect peace. In the Hebrew, it says shalom, shalom, which is emphasis on perfect peace. I may not like what I'm going through, but I can go through it. My burden has been given to God, and I'm still on the path to His kingdom. You will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You, because He trusts in You. Because we trust in God. We talked about that last time, I think it was last time. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. You know, sometimes we think, well, God doesn't need to hear about the small things that I'm going through. God doesn't need to hear about the troubles. I don't want to burden God with what I'm going through. As a parent watching my girls grow, I wanted to hear everything they were going through. There wasn't anything that they were going through that I didn't want to hear about. I always wanted to be ahead of them. I always wanted to see what was on their minds. I was always wanting to see what was troubling them. I was always wanting to see what was lifting them up, making them laugh. I wanted to see what made their life enjoyable, what made their life disagreeable. God wants to hear about everything. An ingrown toenail, stubbed toe, difficulty selling a house. Sorry about that. Anyway, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then, of course, following that is a companion to Isaiah 26:3, and because I go with this. When our mind is stayed on God, how is it that done? Well, that's Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, just, noble, these are the things that keep our mind on God. But he says, be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. When we start out being thankful to God, what has He given to us? He's given us His Spirit. He's given us peace of mind. He's put us on a journey to His kingdom. He's forgiven our sins. We're on the road to salvation. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. To our Father, the one who cares for us, the one who has a future for us, the one who gives us hope. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The world doesn't understand this kind of peace of mind. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Protect us from the doubts, the fears, the depressions, anything that our adversary throws at us. Our perspective will be different. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God doesn't always remove the consequence of our decisions and our mistakes, but He does give us His peace, reminds us of His purpose to accomplish His plan for us. In James, we're told, ask for wisdom, seek His path forward. You know, James 1:5, ask for wisdom and He'll give it to us. Paul tells us to bring every thought into captivity. We're distracted every day by this world, trying to distract us from the perspective of God, from the plan of God. Our adversary is doing everything it wants, it seems like, to distract us. And we're told to bring every thought into captivity, to capture, to hold, to snare, to ask for perspective, to recall God's plan for us. His plan for the church, for mankind, to ask for comfort and to ask for encouragement. In Deuteronomy, we know that Israel was freed from slavery. They had to be freed from the burdens of being a slave. They had to have their whole mindset changed. They had been slaves and they carried that burden, the crushing burden of being slaves, out with them into the Sinai desert. And how often they wanted to go back because, well, it's easier living that way than trusting in a being that we don't know about. They knew about the icons and the gods, small g, of Egypt. And they had to learn who God was, God of the universe. So they carried with them the burdens leaving Egypt, and God had to teach them that He was God, that He was their God. We have to call into mind our history and our experiences. I've had this conversation with some family members where I can't give you my faith in God. I wish I could, but they're based on my experiences, my studies, seeing God's intervention in my life and in the lives of others that I'm close to. And that builds a great trust in me, in what God can and will do. So we bring our burdens to God, to cast our burdens upon the Lord, to take on ourselves the yoke and burden of Jesus Christ, you know, living a certain way of life, the obligations as He has. And then what? And then what? Psalm 37. I like this psalm. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. We feed on His faithfulness, and we see that through experiences with God, His interventions, His mercies, His blessings. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. One of the biggest desires we have is peace of mind. Just to be at peace with this world. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The word commit means to literally take a bucket and roll it before God. Well, that's what we should do with all the burdens that we have. We're to commit. We're to roll. We're to run by. Show God this is what we're going through. I need encouragement. I need comfort. Help me to understand that You take over my burden and give me peace. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. He's going to intervene for us. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Sometimes we think we have to go do something. Well, God's not answering us, so we have to do something. And that's usually when we make a mistake. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. There's going to be people around us who are going to succeed greatly by doing things wrong. That's not our world. There's no justice in this world. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret because it causes harm. Do not fret. It tears up the human body. It tears up the mind. It creates doubts and fears in us so that we are distracted from the journey that we're on. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. The wicked are cut off, He'll see it. Verse 37, mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. Someone who is following God, someone who is literally taking up the yoke of Jesus Christ, is going to be someone about peace, and that sets the example for all of us. We do that for each other. We set an example of peace for one another. 39, for the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them, shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. God delivers us from the burdens that we carry. Maybe it doesn't take away the consequence, but the burden is now shared because we've partnered ourselves with God. So whether we have perfect peace. This is one of my observations is, if I have peace in my life, does that mean that I'm doing everything right? No. If I have a trial and a burden in my life, does that mean I'm doing everything wrong? No. But I can be at peace in both situations, whether I'm in trial or difficulty or at peace. You know, I'm not in conflict with anyone. So I did come up with a list of perspectives that help me capture my every thought. And I don't always do it perfectly. I'm human. And just in confession, when we had a number of sessions of peer review of sermons, you think I just do this for fun, don't you? But we had opportunity to review other ministers' sermons and have some critical analysis. One of it is that I tend to be too open about my mistakes. But I'm okay with that because it's easier for me to point out my own mistakes than point out yours. I don't want to point out yours. I never want to point out yours. But I'll point out mine. So, I capture my every thought, but I'm not always successful. I'm human. And that's okay. But these are mostly the things that I have in the forefront of my mind, where I begin to base my decisions, my actions, my reactions, things that are immediate and knee-jerk. I want to have spiritual habits in my life, so I thought I'd share a few with you in conclusion. And no particular order. These are just the ones that I could actually understand when I tried to read my writing, having written them on the road. But the first is, God comes first in everything. There are times when you think, well, I can't do that. Or if I do that, this is going to... God comes first, that's the answer. I know that for a number of people over my years and years in this way of life, Sabbath has always been an issue for a number of people. And they would say it's a Sabbath issue. I've come to believe it's a job issue. It's not a Sabbath issue because God comes first, therefore you keep the Sabbath. And that's probably not a job you want to be in if they won't honor your willingness to keep the Sabbath. It's the wrong job. It's a job issue. When we look at the first of the Ten Commandments, there is no other God than God. Well, then the next nine are a given. God is God and I'm not. Then the next nine I have to follow. If I accept the first, I have to accept the next nine. And I've talked to other ministers who used to be with us together, and they stop at the fourth. Because we can now worship God on any day. Guess what? We do worship God on every day. But the Sabbath was given to us. And I was told, well, you're worshiping the Sabbath. No, I'm worshiping God on the Sabbath. I don't worship the Sabbath. But that's the day that was given to mankind. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He gave us the Sabbath. It was a gift. It's also listed as the first of the holy days. If you look in Leviticus 23, these are the holy days. First one is the Sabbath. So if you accept the first commandment, God is God, I'm not, the next nine we have to follow. And God comes first in all things. God comes first in all things. Another one is, God already knows what I'm going through. Therefore, I have to be honest with God. When I'm going before Him on my knees, I don't hold anything back. The good, the bad, the ugly. I'm on my knees before God, and I don't hold anything back. I'm honest and open before Him. Because there's no hiding anything from Him. He already knows my thoughts. He knows the intents of my hearts. I was going to do a whole list of scriptures, but we'd be here for the rest of the day. He already knows the intents of my heart. So I must be honest before God. Then I have to remember God's hand in my life. I go back to when I was going into the draft in 1968. Height of the Vietnam War. It was a crucial time for me. Which direction am I going to go? And it was God's comfort and encouragement and direction that helped me. Protect me from a direction that would have been devastating. I remember God's intervention. Numerous interventions. I've seen God's healing right in front of me. I've seen miracles right in front of me. I won't go into it. But God's hand, I can't react any other way than I do now because I remember those things, that God has intervened right in front of me. And when I talk to others, right in front of them. And I don't dismiss God's hand. I don't dismiss miracles. I recall in mind those things that took place. And it was a great drive on the way when I'm writing all this down. What gives me great peace is, this is the next one, this is not my world. I can get really spun up about politics. I can get really spun up about the way the world is going. This is not my world. I am an observer of history and an example of the coming kingdom. That's how I view myself. I don't expect any justice in this world. There is no justice in this world. There is no justice in this world. Another thought that occurred to me, I've only got a handful because I had a whole list. I don't want what other people have. I want what God gives me. You know, and that takes away avarice, that takes away covetousness, that takes away stealing, that takes away lying. I only want what God gives me. Because if He gives it to me, it's a blessing. If I try and manufacture it, then I'm doing it on my own and I've stepped away from God. Another thought is that I'm okay with what God allows in my life. Because whatever He allows in my life, it's for my good. Because I go back to Jeremiah where he says, His thoughts are to give me a hope and a future. His thought is to give me eternity. So whatever He allows, because I'm partnered with Him, I'm okay with what is in my life. I'm okay with what is in my life. Micah 6. Let's close with Micah. All right. Micah. Where'd you go, buddy? Where'd you go? I was looking at another thought for another time this morning, and this is probably going to come to us. But in Micah, there's a closing thought. You know, whatever is burdening us down, weighing us down, we need to bring everything to our Father. We need to share with Him, to seek His intervention and His strength, His answers, because we have partnered with Him. That's why we're here. We've partnered with Him. And then we can come to Micah 6 and verse 8. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? He requires us to bring our burdens to Him so He can bless us, so He can encourage us, so He can comfort us. We take up His yoke and we live the obligations that He has, which is to obey God and do the will of our Father. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, meaning to do justice with one another, to love mercy, God's intervention, and to walk humbly with our God. When we walk humbly with our God, we have taken the burdens that weigh us down, that drive us to depression and anxiety and frustration, and have partnered with Him. And then we seek His intervention and His strength. And we can walk humbly because God is God and we're not. And I haven't written a final statement here, so I'm just going to stop with that.